Welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal, and welcome to episode 49. Guys, today's episode is epic. I had a very special guest on the show. I'm sure you all already know who she is, but I was blessed enough to have the beautiful Kate Fowley on the show with me in episode 49, and we just had such an interesting conversation about love readings. And, you know, I think, you know, when we think of love and the tarot, we probably imagine like what it would be like to get a love reading from like a psychic or a tarot reader. But what we don't think about is what it's like on the other end for the tarot reader giving the reading. So we did talk a lot about the tarot reader's perspective on love readings, and it's just like it's a funny episode, and I think we talked a lot about the trials and tribulations when it comes to giving love readings, and we gave a little bit of advice too when it comes to seeking a love reading and the right questions to ask and all of that stuff. I won't give it too much away. And just to introduce the guest a little bit more, again, I'm sure you already know who she is, but Kate is a Toronto-based writer, tarot reader, tarot teacher, and Reiki master. And I don't know about you guys, but I follow quite a few tarot accounts on Instagram. It's pretty much the entirety of my feed on Instagram is like tarot stuff and astrology stuff. And, you know, you can really tell when someone's account is authentic. And that's what I think of when I think of Kate. Like, you go to her Instagram or you go to her account and you just know she's the real deal. Like, she's just such a champ. So if you're not following her yet, definitely go follow her. I have all her information in the show notes. And I think that's about all I want to say. I'll just kind of let you guys get into the interview. The one disclaimer I do have is that I would say like the very last 10 minutes of the interview, I would say the audio gets a little tweaky. You're gonna have to excuse that. We recorded over Anchor, and I think somehow in like the download of the Anchor audio, it sort of overlapped me and Kate's voices in certain places. So it kind of sounds like we might be talking over each other, but it wasn't actually the case in real life. It's just how the audio kind of overlapped. It's still very much listenable, but just excuse those little audio tweaks. And I don't have Mercury retrograde to blame the technological difficulties, but we'll just blame that one on the coronavirus. Okay, sound good? And I think that's about it. Like I said, all of Kate's information is in the show notes if you want to check her out. And my information is also in the show notes. So all of my books are open for April, astrology, tarot, Reiki. If you're interested in working with me, It's all down there. Okay, guys, have a great listen, and I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hi, Miss Kate.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. Welcome to the Horoscope Witch Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I love your pod so much.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're coming on today. And I feel like, you know, it's oddly enough, I feel like this episode is very much in spirit. Even though, you know, mm-hmm. with all that's going on in the world, I think we could use this for some reason. And I know me and you will have an interesting conversation.
Yeah, totally. I know it's definitely not on a lot of people's minds right now. Like, we can't even touch each other right now, so no one's really thinking about dating so much. But yeah, I think that it could be at the very least, an interesting distraction for people to listen to us talk about love readings.
Exactly. Well, I actually am really interested to know, I don't think we've ever really talked about this. I'm really interested to know your journey, not only with tarot, but how you came to become a professional reader. And I want to know if that was always the goal or if it just like turned into that. So tell me more about your journey.
Yeah. So I got into tarot at a pretty young age. The seed was planted in me from a very young age. I was 11 when I got my first deck. A friend of mine gifted it to me for my birthday. And I grew up in Brantford, Ontario, so like a fairly small-ish city in Ontario. So I don't know where this 11-year-old girl found a tarot deck, but she found one and gave it to me. And I was super fascinated by it, but I was like, obviously really scared of it too. I think that's kind of like a normal kind of response for people to be like, what power does this thing have? And like, is it safe to have it in my house? So I was very young. So I ended up giving it away, but I was fascinated by the tarot and I just felt like this was something that I needed to explore further. But so I gave it away, but then I've always been a journaler and I wrote this letter to my future self at the age of 11 saying like, dear future self, I hope that you are all these things. I hope you look like this. I hope you do this. I hope blah, blah, blah. And I hope that you're a tarot reader when you grow up, because I have a deck now and I think that it adds like a certain smartness to you, I wrote, but I am, you know, like I don't obviously know how to read tarot yet, but I hope that I do. So I wrote that letter to my future self, and then fast forward to my Saturn return when I was about 27 or so, I found like a tub of my old journals in my parents' basement, and then I found this message, and it was just like so well timed because I was really able to see this little note from my childhood self as like a sign. Like I was like, I'm taking this and running with it. Like, this resonates with me. And it found me at a really lucky time, I think, when I was actually kind of just starting to get interested in tarot, like by myself. I was just starting to watch and follow a few people on YouTube. And I was like, man, this is so fascinating and just speaks to me so much. And then I found this message from my younger self. And I was like, it's my time, I guess, let's do this. And then after that, it was really just a matter of like learning all I could and reading all I could. And it was just such a fast and furious love affair, really. And so I didn't really have any aspirations of doing it professionally. I just kind of knew that I just didn't want to do anything else. Like, I guess by the time when I was 27, I was working at the NASDAQ. Like I was working in a corporate job and I wasn't even like considering that I would ever be like out of the broom closet in any way. So, and I mean, this is all pretty recently in my life. It hasn't been a whole heck of a long time that I've been in this world, but it was like almost like literally like flicking on a light switch. And I was just like, it's time for me to go full. It's time for me to go full witch. And like, this is my life now. There's no other way to be honest.
Yeah. Oh my God. That makes me like get emotional thinking about you reading your little note to yourself.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. And did you feel like, you know, I forgot to ask you about your sun, moon, and rising, but did like knowing that you're a Pisces, do you feel like that played into your kind of like life journey? Like you knew you had to be doing something a little bit more like woo woo and like the corporate world just like wasn't for you.
Oh my God. That's such a good question. Yeah. I'm a Pisces sun, Virgo moon, Libra rising. And yeah, I think that I am such a Pisces, like in my soul. Like I really feel like a very, very much a Pisces person. Like I can be very go with the flow, can be very creative, very connected to my dreams. Like my dream life is like the most lit part of my life right now. But I think that for a long time, I almost like resisted it and like overcompensated for. Like I didn't, like there was part of me that just really resisted my Pisces nature. And especially because I have a Virgo moon, which is so like, I know that for me, this can be an energy that plays out, like that sees me just kind of intellectualizing my emotions and being quite focused on control. But yeah, so then I did try to like stuff myself into, and I mean, you allow yourself to find your way, but I really tried to force myself to be someone that I was not for a long time. And, but yeah, I mean, now I like fully embrace my Pisces side. I try to embrace it every day, and I do love it. I love being a Pisces.
Yes, absolutely. I love a good Virgo moon. I think I've said this in past episodes, but I really do. I think, you know, that mix of Virgo and Pisces. So you were born then pretty close to a full moon then.
Yeah.
So that's interesting too.
Yeah. I only recently discovered that I was, well, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about astrology, but I just recently found out that I guess I was born during an eclipse season. So I guess it would have been like pretty close to a full moon eclipse. I think I was like 6 degrees away from a full moon, but I recently discovered like what that meant for me. And that means that I am, you know, sort of like in eclipse mode fairly often. Like I have a pretty intense experience of day-to-day life, I guess. So I was like, wow, that seems very on point for me.
Yes, that completely explains like that moment where you were just like, I gotta go, like I gotta leave corporate.
Yeah.
Or, like,
yeah, I was like, this is my life now. I'm so extreme.
And I'm interested, like, you know, when you were first getting into tarot and maybe first pulling your cards, do you feel like just doing self readings and personal readings, was that very much like a catalyst for like, let's leave? Like, did you feel like the cards were aligned with this sort of fool's journey as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Yeah, I do. I should look back on my journals from that time and like look at the readings that I was doing for myself, because I'm sure there would be like really interesting themes that were coming up in like recurring cards and things like that. But I really think that, you know, I've always been a journaler, like I said. So I've always tried to be pretty self-aware through using different tools. So I don't know that. Well, I mean, I'm sure that I was having all kinds of different revelations when I started doing my own readings, but yeah, I would have to look back on my journals and be like, and just see what kind of stuff was coming up around that time.
Yeah, that's so cool. And do you remember like your first professional reading, or is there anything about like those first few readings that you gave to other people that you felt like it all was clicking into place?
Yeah, I started off selling readings on Etsy, and I would just do like email readings, because I love doing email readings even to this day, because I do find that the way that I connect best with the messages of the tarot is through writing. And I tend to channel when I write, and I do a ritual, and it's very like hermit mode activate sort of thing. I started doing readings on Etsy, and yeah, I don't know if there was ever a moment where I was like, this feels like it's clicking now. I remember, obviously, like, it's just such an evolution. It's just been such a journey, and I relate to tarot in such a different way now than I did when I was doing readings on Etsy. Like, my relationship with the cards is so much more in depth and stuff like that. But I guess I started reading for friends and just like people that I knew before I started really selling readings. Like, I think I was selling readings for like $5 on Etsy for the very start. But then I was just sort of like, it was just like one step at a time kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's so cool. That's so, it was just like little by little, it just kind of became who you are.
Yeah, little by little, it did become who I am. And I think that my just acceptance of myself with every step of the way was, you know, a really important part of that.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like the whole inspiration of this sort of love reading episode was not really even like, yes, we're going to talk about love readings, but it was also kind of to talk about what love readings are like from the tarot reader's perspective. And I think love readings can be some of the hardest things to do as a reader. And I'm wondering if, like, and I know one time on Twitter, like, I'm paraphrasing, but one time you tweeted something like I if I never did another love reading, like, that would be fine. And I favorited it, and I was like, that, yes, because there's something, of course, like, there's something difficult. Like, it feels like one of the most difficult subsects or like genres of tarot readings is the love reading. So tell me, like, I don't know about, like, do you have a memory of, like, especially in your first couple, let's say your first year of being professional, did you have like a memory of like a love reading that you were like, oh man, like this is just putting me in a bad place, like this is not not the easiest thing, like, can you talk about that?
Oh my gosh, I remember that tweet that I tweeted, but I wish that I could remember like the specific like trigger that prompted me to write that. But it's true, like, I don't love readings are not my favorite to do. And I think the overarching reason that love readings are not my favorite to do is because I find that with love readings, someone is just so much more likely to give up their power and in the context of a love reading and just feel like the future is happening to them and they don't have any control. Like, I find that kind of common gripe of tarot readers in general tends to come up the most with love readings. And I think it's because there is so much that's not in our control when it comes to a relationship or dating or, you know, just navigating love in general, because we're not just talking about ourselves, right? We're talking about other people. But the specific moment when I sort of realized that love readings were their own beast was very early in my career as a reader. I did a Celtic cross spread for someone who just came to me for a reading, and we had a very basic chat before, and I asked her like generally if there was any intentions that she had to bring to this reading, if there's anything in particular that she wants to know. And so I did the reading for her, and it was very, you know, like a little bit of this, a little bit of that, Celtic cross. We went through it. And then at the end of the reading, it was like she was disappointed because I didn't tell her if her ex was going to come back. And then I was like, oh, I just realized that. So all of the stuff that we have just talked about, it's like that it didn't, you know, it just felt like we were kind of like obviously on really different pages, and you know what I mean, like, but is my ex gonna come back? And I don't know, I was just like, wow. I mean,
oh my god,
yeah, that's just a memory that kind of came to my mind, and I was just like, that's not how I want to use tarot, that's not how I want to read tarot, like, that's not how I feel like I can best be of service to someone else with this tool, is to be like, yes or no, your ex is going to come back or he's not. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like to ask that question was like, oh, really? But like, what about all this? Like, what about all this other stuff, you know?
Oh my God, I resonate so deeply because, you know, and that really is why I think love readings, at least for me personally, are a little bit of my Achilles heel. It like, in a way, like, it's not that I don't enjoy discussing love with my clients, but what I don't enjoy is like playing table hockey, like, with their power. And like you said, like, it's sort of like, in especially in the love context, people really, really, really want you to be God, and they really want to kind of let you kind of steer the ship. And it's like, no matter what I say or what I do, or no matter how amazing of a love reader you are, you know, you can't necessarily win. Like, it seems to be, it's a very, like, it's a thing where I think the client kind of has to have the right mindset too. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah, you really have to be on the same page about, you know, what you're doing in this reading, ultimately. Like, I wouldn't, like, I, yeah, the purpose of me being a tarot reader isn't to tell someone stories about their life or what they should do or what they need to do. You know what I mean? It's all about just getting down to the truth of what you want and the truth of who you are and activating your inner knowing and activating your relationship with, you know, your intuition and what you know is right.
Yeah. Well, for the people who are listening, you know, who might be, you know, seeking like psychics or tarot readers or even astrologers for love advice. And, you know, I think that's completely valid at times. Like, what do you think is like, what's the right mindset? What's the right and wrong mindset when it comes to like seeking a love reading as a client?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that ultimately, just knowing that, well, I don't believe that the future is set in stone. And I don't believe that we can like decide that something is going to happen and then just be told that that's going to happen, or be told that that's going to happen and then just like sit back and wait for it to happen. You know what I mean? And I think that when you go to a psychic or someone like a tarot reader and you kind of do think that they can tell you, like give you some sort of like out in a way to, you know what I mean? To kind of like, you don't need to be responsible for your life anymore. Like, I think your intuition, you'll kind of know that you are going to the psychic for that reason. And like, it won't really feel like, you'll feel like, you just kind of know, I think, if you're going to a psychic in order to have that person tell you that you're free to go from your life, you're free to just, you know what I mean? But I think that the best I think mindset to approach tarot when it comes to love is just by thinking that, remembering that, you know, it's all about like asking a really good question. Like, a good question to ask about love is like, what do I want? And what am I, like, what energy am I projecting to the world? And am I acting in alignment with what I truly want? And if not, then how can I course correct? Like, how can I get back on to the path of love for me? So good questions when it comes to love are like things that put the power back in your hands and make you feel empowered. Like, what can I control in my love life? What do I have to just accept that I can't control? Like, what do I have to leave up to the universe? But what do I have control? And like, how can I make sure that I'm acting in alignment with what I actually want?
Right. Yeah. No, I love that because, you know, I think it's all about reframing these like almost cliche love questions. Like, a cliche love question would be like coming to a tarot reader maybe before a first date or something like that. Yeah. And like, why? Because I've had this happen to me. I've had clients like, you know, come to me like literally on the day of a first date.
Wow.
And ask me like what's going to happen or like what's the dirt, yeah, on this guy or whatever. And it's like, you know, I don't want to read from that perspective. And it's like, you always have to kind of reframe the question. It's not, yeah, about what's going to happen on this date or like, is this guy my like new boyfriend or whatever. Yeah. I think it's more like, you know, what am I learning in the dating process or what do I need to shift about myself or what do I need to work on when I show up to a date or when I'm on a dating app or when I'm like in love in general. And I think questions like that start with what can I do, at least from the client, I think you're ultimately going to walk out of the reading with much better stuff, mm-hmm, than asking questions like, you know, what do they think about me, or you know, where is this going, or does this make sense?
Yeah, totally. Because like
Yeah.
if you could even be told where it was going, then like that would be so like that would be such a brief conversation. You know what I mean? Like you go to a tarot reader, it's like, oh, the date's gonna suck. So then like you go on the date and then it's like then what? Like I think that you know, it just even if the future was written in stone, like would you want to know it? Like would you want to just I don't know, like is that what we want, you know? And like the beauty of love, the beauty of dating someone is and like navigating a relationship is like there's so much magic in that uncertainty, and that's what makes it sexy, and that's what makes it fun to like wonder what that person is thinking and to think about that person and to like wonder what you can create together, you know?
Exactly. And I asked some of the people on Instagram if they had any questions for us for this conversation.
Oh yeah.
And someone I think did kind of misinterpret what I was saying, but I actually think it's a good question just to look at from a like from an outside perspective. But someone did ask, will I ever get married again? That's how they responded to my question. And although we're not going to like read for this specific person, what do you say to someone who like sits across the table from you and asks something like that? Like, will I ever get married again? Will I get over this breakup? Will I date again? Like what's the best way to navigate those kind of things?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And like totally like a fair thing, you know, to want to approach the tarot with. Like, is this a possibility for me? Like, will I ever get over this? But I think that just the key is to just know that there's so much happening beyond just that question. You know, it's about healing and it's about asking yourself, like, what do you know, like where, like with something like, will I get married again? It's like, well, do you want to get married again? Like, what was the story with the past? And are you still, you know, navigating, like working, does there need to be some forgiveness that's happening here? Like, it's just such a more nuanced question. Like, it's such a, yeah, it's like a, that's a big, it's a big question. There's a lot there, you know?
Yeah, and it's funny because like again, one of the reasons that I guess I shouldn't keep saying like I don't like love readings. I know like because I want I think I want people to feel comfortable talking
Totally,
about
totally.
anything,
Yeah.
but and I know you feel the same way
Yes.
too, but that being said, that is one of the reasons why, love readings can be difficult for the tarot reader because we are being like asked these questions like, will I get married again or will I meet someone again or whatever it may be? And like you said, well, there's a million different factors to this question. And I think it does have to do with mindset though. And I tend to kind of I do really believe that we live in a world with, 7 billion people. So I think when people do adopt the mindset of like, I'm never going to find anybody or no one's right for me or, it was a one and done. Like I got married once. There's no way there's going to be another person. I think it all kind of comes back to those moments where we're not living in the abundant universe that we truly are living in. And,
Yeah.
sometimes it's about shifting the client back to abundance, not in a bypassing kind
Yeah.
of way that's like bypassing their
Yeah.
experience, but it in a way of like reminding them that, they live in the world that they project.
Oh, totally. And I think that, yeah, that's such an important point too. It's like there are no timelines here. There's no box that we need to fit in here. And I think that that's the reason that a lot of people tend to approach tarot for, you know, in when it comes to love in a way that's not perhaps quite as helpful when they do put pressure on themselves to like fit into some sort of box or adhere to some sort of timeline or something, because it doesn't need to be like that. Like, it doesn't, it's, we do live in an abundant universe. Like, love can be whatever you want it to be. Like, it blows my mind that we live on this earth and, like, marriage, like, a model of marriage is, like, right for so many people. You know what I mean? Like, we, it blows my mind that the structure of a relationship just seems to be so, like, I don't know, we all have this idea of, like, what love needs to be or what love needs to look like. It's like, it doesn't need to be any certain way at all. And yeah, when we liberate ourselves from that belief, then everything just feels so much easier. And there's so much more, like, creative potential in love.
Ah, that gave me chills. I love that. I feel like someone needed to hear that. Mm. Like, you know, because if you've lost hope for yourself in, like, a certain relationship model, like marriage, yeah. You know, it's like you said, it's like the most popular relationship yeah. model that's been kind of, like, fed to us, like, this is what you should want. Yeah. And it could be kind of a defeating thing. And I'm thinking of the hero font card, yeah. like, sort of that, those beliefs around, like, what a relationship has to be, and, like, kind of almost some readings, love readings may turn into sort of, like, maybe we need to expand our horizon of what a relationship looks like for you.
Yeah. Or,
you know, even if within a marriage, a lot of marriage readings that I give, which, by the way, give me major imposter syndrome because wow. I am, like, in no way even close to being married. But yeah. in when you are counseling someone who's married with marriage issues, you know, sometimes it's not about, like, the black and white. Like, there's so much more that, you know, that can be expanded through tarot than just, is this going to work out or is this
yeah,
not?
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah. You know, I was wondering for you, you know, part of love readings is sort of like the breakup reading.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, you know, how do you navigate that? Like, when a client is kind of coming to you, maybe in a breakup, in a period where they're, like, breaking up with someone, or maybe they're toying or weighing whether to end a relationship or keep trying. Like, what's your philosophy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually really enjoy breakup readings. I think there's so much rich, like, I think there's that's a really, tarot is such a beautiful tool for helping navigate a breakup. And I think that the reason that I feel like that is because I think that a lot of times when it comes to breakups, whether you're, like, on the fence, you're, like, wondering whether you should break up with someone, you're wondering whether the relationship really over, you're wondering maybe, like, just what course of action to take, or if, like, to give up hope at all. I think that what you really want to know is, like, what the lesson of this relationship is. Like, what was this person here to teach me? And, like, have I fulfilled that lesson? And, like, if I have, then okay. Like, having clarity on that is enough to, you know, just usually, like, move on, or, you know, just realize what you want to do about a relationship. But I think it ultimately just comes back down to, like, what was this all about? And why did it hurt so bad? Why did this person, like, come into my life? Have I fulfilled this lesson? And, like, can I move on? Am I free? Or what do I need to do to, like, fulfill this lesson?
Ah, yeah. Oh, I love that. I think you're right, because, you know, that's an area where I think a good tarot reader can yeah. really help you. Like, if you do have this kind of feeling of, like, I'm in the despair of the breakup, like, I need an outside perspective to show me what this was really meant to teach me. Yeah. That's, like, probably one of the most beautiful ways to use love in the tarot. And it's not in the way that people want it to be. You know, people want the tarot to be able to, like, tell them, like, oh, my soulmate's coming, or this is my twin yeah. flame. But in a little bit more of, like, a shadowy way, yeah. I think tarot can really help us with, like, getting closure without having to, like, actually talk to someone, or it's like getting closure from your higher yes. self versus versus having to, you know, go through the whole thing in person or whatever it may be.
Yeah, totally. And that's like such a good question in itself for tarot too. Like, how do I need to get closure? Like, do I need to talk to this person, or can I just do a ritual by myself and forgive them and let them go? Like, yeah.
Where do you think, like, for any, like, baby tarot readers out there, including me, your advice, what is your advice just for giving the best love reading or breakup reading or whatever it may be that you can as the reader? Or, yeah, like, what's your biggest advice for that?
You know, I think that I would say, I think that that answer would be the same as my answer for just how to give a really good reading in general. And that is just make sure that you have a spread that you feel really comfortable with going into the reading. So I really do believe that, like, spread use, whether that's just a general kind of go-to spread that you like approach just clients that you don't know anything about with, or you're like creating one custom for someone, just like having a way of laying out the cards and pulling together a story that makes you feel really confident that you can deliver useful information no matter what comes up. That's the way to, I think, give a really good reading.
I love that. And I almost feel like that kind of bleeds into my next question too, because someone on Instagram, they asked, like, kind of about if it's even possible to do a love reading for yourself, because, like, we tend to be, I would say, when we're giving personal readings to ourselves, the danger in it, or I shouldn't say the danger, but like the shadow side of doing any sort of personal reading is, like, your bias against the situation. But I almost feel like that might be a really good answer to their question too, like, make sure you're doing, having a spread, or make sure that, you know, you have this, like, spread that works for you and that you can trust. But I guess going deeper into that, like, where's the line? Like, when should we read on love for ourselves, and when should we avoid it? Like, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that there is such a thing as too much tarot, you know? Like, I think that you can kind of tell when you're kind of forcing it and you're, like, pulling maybe some of the same cards, or the same messages are coming up in different cards, and you're just like, you feel like you're getting called out a little bit. Like, there's a time and a place where we just kind of need to move on and, like, let the world be our oracle and continue to just, like, fulfill the lessons that we are just, like, meant to learn when it comes to love or whatever. But so I think that you kind of know when you need to consult your higher self, and when your higher self is just going to be like, girl, like, give it a rest, you know? Like, just, you got this. Like, just keep going. Like, you got this.
Yeah, I don't, especially if I'm just beginning to see someone, I will not pull on it at all.
Wow.
Yeah, no. And I try to not ask too much about their sign either. And I know that's kind of like, some people might be surprised about that, but last year I went, like, I was seeing someone for like 3 months and I didn't know their sign. Like, I told them not to tell me. Yeah. Cause I don't want to know right then and there, because I just feel like if I know their sign, I'm going to judge them.
Yeah.
So, like, I want to, like, go into it just judging them as the person that they are and not projecting, like, my ideal of the sign onto them. But when it comes to the tarot too, like, I don't think I would really ever pull on something, especially before I've met the person. Like, should I go on this date, or, like, what's this person like? Like, I just think we're kind of, we're not trusting ourselves enough, because I know I can, although I have issues with self-trust, like we all do, I know I can at least trust myself in the context of a first or second date. And that's one of the ways, that I think we can trust ourselves the most when we just say, hey, I know what a red flag looks like. You know, let's just go in and I don't need the tarot to tell me that that's a red flag, or I actually don't need the tarot to tell me that we have chemistry. Like, I already know that inside of me. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Totally. And like, the universe rewards our acts of self-trust. I believe that, you know?
Yes.
So I'm like fascinated that you have that philosophy that you don't ask people's signs. Like, that seems amazing to me. Like, that's like almost liberating. Like, I might actually do that, because I'm like not that way. Like, I'm like, tell me everything, let me see your chart, like let me pull cards on this. But you're right, it is right. Definitely, like, you can't help but judge someone. Like, you can't help but make a some sort of assumption, right?
Right, exactly. Like, and I think I've been very solitary for a while, just because I've been doing so much personal work. But yeah. I think, like, when I do call in, like, my next relationship or whatever, mm-hmm. I think I'm going to do it again. Like, of course, there will be a time where I feel like, okay, like, you know, it's time to whip out the astrology. Like, let's see what their chart says or whatnot. But it's definitely not the time, for me at least, in the first, like, 1 to 3 months of getting to know someone. And let's say, like, okay, I'm a Pisces, like, what's like a, you are too, what's like a really shit compatibility for us? Like, it might be like an Aries.
I was about to say, like, someone. An Aries maybe,
right? Okay, so like, I almost, like, even if that person was an Aries, I would rather just, like, find out that we're not compatible in almost, like, an organic way, rather than being like, oh, well, fuck them, they're an Aries.
Like, yeah, of course. Oh, my God, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But for you, like, you know, in your own, like, personal love life, did you ever have, like, I don't know, like, maybe there was a time where you pulled on something and you realized, like, I have to walk away from this, or like, or maybe you pulled on a love situation, you were like, okay, this isn't what I thought. Can you talk more about how you use tarot for your own love life sometimes?
Yeah. My last relationship was definitely a big learning experience, and tarot helped me a lot with that. And that relationship was, it really actually changed the way that I use tarot. It changed the way that I think about certain cards and things like that. But I guess I consider all relationships, like, you know, they're like, I do believe that certain people come into our life for a reason, and that tarot can help us to illuminate that reason. So in the example of this last relationship that I was in, I would just pull some cards, like, after, you know, me and this person were hanging out or something like that, or if I was thinking about this person, I would always pull the star, actually, for this relationship. And it just kind of kept me feeling like there's so much interesting healing work happening here. And while I didn't, you know, really learn the key lessons of that healing work, or learn what exactly was being healed or how I was growing, like, while I was in it, I just kept pulling the star, and I was like, I'm still working through this, like, I'm still learning the lessons that are here to be learned. And I mean, that relationship is over, but I'm glad that I kept pulling the star, because it kind of just kept me feeling hopeful, not for this relationship to work out in any sort of specific way. Obviously it didn't work out, but like, the lessons and the gifts that came from it, like, oh man, I wouldn't trade them for the world. And that was very much like this beautiful star energy that this person left me with. So I mean, yeah, it was just sort of something that gave me just hope and kind of direction, I guess.
You know what that reminds me of? I feel like so many people might get, including myself sometimes, like, don't put themselves out there because they're afraid of getting hurt. You know, that old cliche thing.
Yeah.
But that kind of reminds me of, like, well, even if you do put yourself out there and it doesn't work out, it was still, there was still healing in it, right? Or like there was still a lesson in it, right? And you like, and you were pushed on your path, and you moved forward regardless of whether that person is still in your life or not.
Totally.
And I love that the star came up for that.
Yeah, like it was such a recurring card around that time. Like I'll never forget that. Yeah.
And, you know, I think the like cliche cards for love, like I feel like the Eight of Cups is like the breakup card, or like the Two of Cups is like you're meeting someone new, or like the Lovers is la-di-da-di-da. Like, you know, do you buy into that? Or are there other things that you feel like have to do with those cards?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, yeah.
Oh, definitely. I have my own very specific love cards, and I'm so curious to know what your cards are for love and for breakups and things like that. So when it comes to the Lovers card, that to me, I don't think I've ever pulled that in and then have it mean love relationships. Like I really don't associate that card with love relationships at all. To me, it's all about personal value system and like being at a crossroads and having to make an important choice and knowing that your decisions affect other people. And it's very much like an adulting card, actually, to me. Like it's about responsibility. Like it's almost kind of like Saturnian, that card. But my cards that, well, the Eight of Cups and I have a really rich relationship. That just ultimately, yeah, like I guess I definitely have pulled that card in the context of breakups and just when someone is kind of like reframing their idea of what they want and kind of reframing their definition of success in their life and just moving on from something that was at one point was enough, at one point is no longer enough. You got to go. You just got to listen to your intuition and go. But the Eight of Cups is definitely a little bit more watery in terms of like, I don't see it come up for specific, like it's more of a theme that I see it come up for. But in terms of my love cards, for hands down, Four of Wands is like my successful relationships card. Ooh. Like it's like two people wearing togas, like lifting up these like flowers into the air, and like they got the palace behind them, and then the wands. It's like you've built this authentically and it's passionate, and like everyone's here giving you their blessing. Like that is like, it's the game on card for me in love. And two other cards that I will mention that I always see come up in the context of love readings is the Three of Swords. I do see often as an indication of heartbreak. I have seen that foretell some breakups and also just personal healing work as well. I always like to think of the Three of Swords as just a reminder that, you know, your thoughts create feelings. So you are hurting enough right now. Like, don't torture yourself with your thinking, because there's healing work happening here. That's a beautiful thing. And then lastly, my final love card that always comes up in specific instances is the Devil. And that is for me, like, sexy. Ooh. Time. It's on. There's like freaky shit. There's bondage. Like you are in it for a good time, and you're gonna have a good time. So that's like that's my relationship with those cards to this point. Who knows, like I'm sure my relationship with those cards is gonna evolve, but those are my love cards.
Oh my God. I love it. And I could not agree with you more on your interpretation. Yeah. Of the Lovers. And it really rarely, if ever, comes up for me in a reading or for a client as like love is coming in or there's something about love to be talked about. It's almost always something about, like you said, like the inner world, or like choice. I think love, the Lovers, more means choice to me a lot of the time. And as for the Three of Swords, I will say too, like, you know, sometimes I do hear readers kind of say things like, the Three of Swords, it has nothing to do with heartbreak and love. And then I feel torn because I really have seen it in readings as heartbreak. So I kind of try to find the middle ground with the Three of Swords where, you know, I try to leave it a little bit open-ended. Like, this could mean heartbreak. This could also very well mean that, like, maybe, you know, we're still carrying around old wounds from the past relationships. Those swords are still... those cords or those swords are still in the heart, and maybe now we're projecting this past situation onto the new situation, and it's time for cord cutting, or it's time for like a burning ritual to really clear some of that old energy out, you know. And the one card, oddly enough, that I do feel excited to see in a love reading is the Death card, especially if the client is kind of, you know, if they're giving me the vibe that like they're willing, both parties in the relationship are like willing and able to work on bettering their relationship. I really love to see the Death card come up, because it does mean that, for me at least, both people are kind of accepting that maybe an old part of themselves died, or, you know, and now it's time to kind of, I think all relationships have to upgrade, because we're constantly becoming new people and we're constantly transforming into new versions of ourselves. So I think that's really what, for me, that's really what the Death card means in the relationship context. It really doesn't always mean like, sorry, this is over. Like,
I totally agree with that. Yeah. Like, for me, it's a good omen in love readings. It's like a new day is dawning. So it's time to just release a part of yourself, like a part of your identity, a part of your ego, like something that you thought you needed once, or something that you needed once, you don't need it anymore. So let's let this sun rise and let's welcome new love, new light into our lives.
A listener did ask, you know, she specifically asked about the Justice card as the outcome of her personal reading, I think on, I don't know if it was her love life or it was something else, but I guess just in general, the Justice card in the context of love readings.
That's such what a is good your question. Take? And man, the Justice card is a really interesting card to see in a love reading, because on one hand, it does have that like Hierophant kind of energy, right? It's like tradition, the right way, like what is right. And then there's this other layer that's like the cold, hard truth. Like, we have the sword that's like upright in the air, like almost like Queen of Swords kind of energy, like right and wrong, black and white. Like, that's very much Justice. I really think ultimately, like, when you pull the Justice card, it's like the greatest and highest good of all is going to prevail here. And like, it's not just about you, it's not just about the other person. It's like, is this right for the world? Like, almost maybe even a little bit of karma here. But I think that card coming up in a love reading would also just mean like you're learning a lot about, you know, what's right for you. We also think about the layer of the Justice card being like, when you know better, you have to do better. You have to like have the outer world match the inner world in order for there to be like balance and justice. But yeah, that's a really interesting card. I have to say that I have like a little bit of a frustrating relationship with Justice, because I'm always just like, this is, it just seems like it's a, I have a challenging relationship with Justice. I never know exactly what to think, to be totally honest with you.
Oh, and I have that conversation with my own tarot students too, where like we talk about why Justice is such a complicated and difficult card at times. And it's probably the one card that still stumps me sometimes. And it's kind of like, I really have to go to spirit and kind of let go of things. But I love that interpretation that you just gave. And it reminds me of like the cliche, maybe when the Justice card comes out in the reading, because like you said, the Justice card does have like the concerns of of all, you know, within it, like it does this benefit everybody? It kind of reminds me of the cliche, like, you know, does this person make you better? You know, does this person push you to be better? Because, you know, when you are your best self, then, you know, you help the world. And, you know, maybe if the justice card comes out, it's sort of really asking you to ask yourself, like, well, you know, does this person really benefit my
Yeah, like
life? You
in
know?
like a let's be real kind of way, right?
Right, exactly. Now, I will say too, like, not to be like the cliche tarot reader with like, you know, crystal ball, but I will say that there have been instances too where justice has come up like in divorce readings. And like that too sometimes is just like sometimes I feel like the justice card can be the deepest card, and then there can just be a very simple meaning. Like sometimes it's just spirit and my guides telling me like there's some legal matter on the table. And I know people might get me in trouble for that because it's not like the deepest esoteric meaning of the justice card, but it is what it
Yeah, no,
is, at
that's a really
least in
good
my
point too. Like at the end of the
experience.
day, like sometimes the chariot means your car. Like it's true. Like some the tarot works in
Your
mysterious
car,
ways.
yeah.
Sometimes justice means like you're going to jury duty.
Oh my gosh. You know, I think, you know, there's this one question that came in from a listener too, and I thought it was kind of important to address, and it does have to do with like the ethics when it comes to like reading on someone's energy who is not in the room, which I think is something that a love reading will inevitably bring up. So this listener asked, is it ethical to read in on the third party in the love reading, or is it an invasion of
Yeah,
privacy?
that's a
And
good
what's your
question.
take on that?
I definitely will read on people who aren't in the room because I mean, I talk to my therapist about my boyfriend. Like, I talk to my therapist about other people. And I feel like that to me is not an invasion of anyone's space. I'm not trying to get into anyone's head. And, you know, I think it's totally okay to talk about other people, as long as I'm not, you know, trying to coerce anyone to do anything, which I would never do. I think it's totally fine to talk about other people.
I agree. And I've always raised a brow on that. Like even in like my very, very beginning stages of reading, I always kind of raised a brow at people who were like very strict, like my ethics say that I cannot talk about, you know, anybody besides the querent or besides the person seeking the reading. And of course I think tarot readers should do what feels ethically aligned for them. But for me, that also didn't feel ethically aligned because, like, then, you know, it's kind of bypassing the experience, human experience of having other people in the room. And, you know, I'll never, one time, there, it wasn't even a love reading, but for some reason, I was giving, you know, working at the shop I work at, you know, there's just some random people that, you know, I wouldn't normally like read for, but you know, I was reading for this like random like grandma, and she so innocently and clearly just wanted to know some things about her grandchildren because she was worried, and I just felt like the information was there, and I didn't feel like giving her that information did any harm to the grandchildren. If anything, giving her the information may have helped the situation. So I always go back to that instance too, and I go back to like, well, like, are you high priestessing it, or are you like seven of swordsing it? You know, like, are you like, yeah. Granted, I really don't like the question, like, is he cheating on me? That kind of feels for some reason like not good, but I don't know. Have you ever
Yeah,
received that
luckily I
question? Like, are they
haven't because
cheating on
I
me?
would not like to receive that question at all. That would be challenging. Like there are some questions that, you know, when it comes to love, and I think that's a really good example of one that like that's not the question to take to a tarot reader, you know? Like, I think that, you know, if you are in a relationship with someone that you have been in a relationship with for a long time, and maybe you're married, like, maybe that's a question to bring to your partner, obviously. But I mean, like, there's like, that's a relationship, like a relationship therapist sort of thing, like for an ongoing relationship that, you know, you have with someone. That's, it just seems like that's not the best way to use tarot. Yeah.
No, and I totally agree. And, you know, with that question, I have received that question a lot, but maybe like two or three times in my journey so far. And, you know, what I tend to reply for that you know, at the end of the day, I am a stranger to that person sitting across from me. And, you know, at the end of the day, like, I don't think I necessarily should answer that, not only for my own safety, but also even if you are bringing that question to a stranger, is my partner cheating on me?
Yeah.
There is already trust. Trust is broken.
Yeah.
Trust is inevitably broken if you are bringing that question to a stranger. And it doesn't matter then if the question is yes or the answer is yes or no. The real problem is trust is broken.
Totally. Oh, I totally agree with that.
You know?
Yeah. Like, why are you asking that question? You obviously have a reason to ask that question. So, yeah.
Exactly. But I think, you know, oh my gosh, this has been so interesting.
Yeah.
I think maybe we'll kind of wrap up here with like, maybe one last question from, is a really good question to kind of wrap up with. And I think it's a good note to end on here. Someone asked, I think another tarot reader, she asked, what is the best way to assure those being read understand that they have free will? Sometimes the devil or the tower card may look frightening to, you know, the querent. And how do I assure them that they have free will in the situation?
How do you assure someone they have free will? Interesting. I'm of the mind... Yeah, I'm of the mind that tarot shows us just the energies around us. And in terms of like future, like it shows us where we might be headed if we continue on this path and don't make any changes at that moment. So if you don't like where you're headed, like you can absolutely change that, you know? Like I think that the tarot cards kind of just tell us like the energies that we're working with, and we don't need to feel subject to it at all. Like these are all just energies that we're working with, and we can use them to create other situations. You know, like if you're heading into a tower moment, like, and you can kind of brace yourself for it, it's, if it's inevitable, or just kind of course correct and change your path, like tarot is a tool for like allowing you to see that you can change it, right? I don't know if that's a good answer to that question.
Oh, no, I think that's a great answer. And, you know, even as a reader, like I constantly remind people that they have free will in my readings, even like in like almost like a comic relief way. Like I tend to remind people like, you know, and you could walk out of this reading and do the exact opposite. And like, you know, nothing is written in stone, but like this is just something to think about, or this is just something for you to consider. And something simple like that can always help. Like, I think give relief to the person who might see the tower and feel scared at the reading table.
And, like, at the end of the day, like you can, like at the end of the day, no one, like, here's an example. Like, no one could have foreseen that we would be in a global pandemic right now. Like, I don't know if I heard anyone in the world, like, predict this. So, like, there are just so many factors at play all the time that are changing the course of the world. So, I mean, you can plan for a situation all you want, but at the end of the day, like, you don't really know what's going to happen a lot of times.
And you can only it's so true, and you can only work with what's on the table, you know. And, you know, speaking of our global pandemic, one of the things, one of the last things I kind of wanted to, like, talk about is, like, I think, you know, regardless, life goes on, regardless of, like, the coronavirus or whatever else is going on in the world right now. I think people still very much do have maybe love on their minds, or they maybe have relationship issues that they're wanting to work on, or whatever it may be. And, you know, for those of us right now who maybe are, you know, isolated or alone, or maybe feel like, you know, maybe we're thinking about doing like some behind the scenes love work when it comes to our own personal development. Do you feel like this is a good time to like do some partner manifestation? Because I kind of feel like that might be
a good time to do something like that. I feel like this time, well, this moment that we're all in is like changing everything, but I really do have hope for the way that it's going to change dating. Like, people are going on like FaceTime dates now, and like virtual dates and stuff like that. And that like makes me so excited, because Venus is moving into Gemini soon, which is all about intellectual stimulation. And like, I'm like, this is a really interesting time for love. So
yes,
it is a good time to do some behind the scenes work and like manifest a partner and ask yourself what you want, and like experiment with like dating in new ways, and like, you know.
Yeah, I totally, you know, I was thinking about this one thing, that it's like this one love manifestation ritual that you can do with your tarot cards. And it comes from this ritual book. It's like the Mother Peace Ritual with the Mother Peace Tarot. It's like a guidebook that I have, and I'll put the name of it in the show notes for everybody who's listening. But essentially, it's kind of a longer spread. You pick at random, I think, 21 cards from your deck, with the intention that within these 21 cards, your love manifestation is there. But you flip all 21 cards over, and then you pull out the first 7 cards that you look at and you don't like. Like, let's say in these 21 cards, like you pick out all of like the swords cards or the tower or something. And actually those first 7 cards that you pick out are the things that you must still work on within yourself.
Wow.
To manifest the love that you want. And then you do it again. You do another round of 7, like, okay, the second round of 7 cards that I maybe would not want necessarily in my love life. And then you do a little bit of more self-reflection. And then the remaining 7 kind of represents maybe the partner that you are wanting to bring
in. Oh my God, that's so cool.
I thought I'd just share that. I'm totally going to do that. Yeah, it's not my I hope I don't get sued for copyright, because it's not my practice, but I'll put the book in the show notes again. But I've done that before, and it's been helpful. I think the most helpful part about that is it helps us use the tarot in a way that's like, how can I work on myself, like, you know?
Where's my partner at?
yep, exactly. Well, Kate, give us, can you plug yourself a little bit? Like, give us a little bit more about, like, your offerings. I know you have an online tarot school, so tell us about that in case anybody, you know, is looking to take a course or anything like that.
So you can find me and all my stuff at katefowley.com, KITFOWLIE.com. And yeah, I do an online tarot school called Curio Tarot School. It's a 7-week intro to tarot course. It's all about just teaching the fundamentals in 7 weeks. So it's all online. There's no set course times or anything like that. It's all just study at your own time, on your own pace. And yeah, I'm on Instagram probably too much, at Kate Fowley, K-A-I-T underscore Fowley. And yeah, I share a bunch of stuff on there.
Awesome. I'll obviously put all your stuff in the show notes too. So definitely go follow Kate. She's awesome. She's definitely one of my favorite.
Oh, thank you so much.
Tarot
well, likewise,
readers on
you are
Instagram.
Totally one of my favorite tarot readers on Instagram.
Oh yeah. My gosh, I'm so glad. So glad we became friends through Instagram too. I don't know who slid into each other's DMs
same.
First, but I'm definitely glad to know you.
Thank you
oh my
for
gosh.
Having
well,
me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show today. And this will be coming just in time for the Libra full moon. So I think this will definitely hopefully help a lot of people at least be a little bit distracted in isolation, but maybe thinking more about their love lives on
Libra
a deeper
full moon's
level
a good one for
too.
Love too.
Okay, Kate. Well, stay very safe, very healthy. And again,
thank you. Have a good
I'll leave
day.
All your information in the show notes.
Bye.